views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you're meant to be so that you can create a life you love, and by doing so, help the whole planet shift to a more peaceful and loving way of being. Today, my guest is a truly beautiful soul who I've only met via Zoom, yet instantly fell in love with. Her name is Tammy Leitzel, and she is a sensuality expert and empowerment coach who helps women regain their confidence and sense of self-worth after relationship or sexual trauma. She teaches sensual self-expression in a safe and playful manner and has helped thousands of women shed the past, leading them to feel greater levels of empowerment and self-expression. For our conversation today, we're going to be focusing on shame and sexuality as it applies to our daughters and how we can really arm them with the tools they need to stand strong in life and hold tight to their power. Now, I think this is a much needed conversation and one that I feel is actually starting to get more traction lately due to things like the Me Too movement. So I'm very excited to have her here. Tammy, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thank you, Debbie. It's my honor and pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, so happy to have you. Now, as I told you before, I went to your website, which is tammyleitzel.com, to check you out before our first meeting. And I was just immediately pulled into your story. I think in part because you're just so vulnerable and real in how you express it, but also because it's a very gripping and compelling story. So I'm wondering if you would mind sharing just a quick bit about your background. I know there's tons there, so just pick out a couple snippets.
Sure.
And maybe tie it into why you're so passionate about this topic.
Yes. Well, thank you. I'm definitely a tale of two extremes. What you've read on the website, which would have caught your eye, was the fact that I was raised as a Mennonite, but I ultimately went on to teach exotic dancing for everyday women. So how does that happen? I went through an experience of shame when I was very young, and it happened to be within my church. I was 10 years old talking to a little boy. I know it was platonic because this day was etched in my brain. And the preacher decided to make a show of me by getting down off the pulpit. And he came over, stood right in front of me, waggled his finger in my face and said, now, you don't want to be one of those women, do you?
Oh my gosh. And I can't imagine.
Yeah, I didn't know what those women were, but I could tell it was very, very bad.
Yes.
And it was the first time that I felt white hot shame wash through my body. And I knew it had to be with the fact that I was a girl, because he used the term those women.
Right. And just because you were sitting there talking to a little boy.
Yes. Now, I was talking probably during his sermon. I get it. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have been doing that. But he took the opportunity to shame me in a big way.
Yeah. Not just to correct you and say, you know, do you want to go up to the pulpit and speak?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
And it changed me because I could tell there was something sexual about it, even though I didn't know what that meant, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
As youngsters, we, you know, we get the idea that we're children and that there are adults out there, and there's something a little bit different about adults. And especially in today's day and age, we see, you know, all the media out there.
Oh, yes.
So I knew that there was something about my sensuality, but since I didn't have any other definitions, I let it define me. So I let it shut me down.
Right.
Because I didn't want to feel that kind of fear, shame, or embarrassment ever again.
Right.
So it wasn't
right from, I was just going to say, 10 years old, it's like, okay, I'm not going to speak my truth. I'm not going to put myself out there. You know, I'm going to bury myself under all this shame.
Right. Exactly. And it became, my body no longer became the friend that it had been before. It became something that I was supposed to hide and keep away from others.
Right. And that's even typically a little bit before puberty.
Yes. I was about 10 years of age. I think that people tend to, they want to get adults, they're well-meaning and they want to get a jump on. They want to make sure to, you know, help mold the children in the right way. But what their fear is doing is actually making us weak and naive and unable to trust our own intuition.
Yes. And, you know, I remember this other little piece sticking out from your story for me about how you, as you got, I think you had moved away, and now you would look at other people, other women, and how they were dressed, and you just had this instant judgment of them that.
Yes, exactly. Because I had no, so I didn't get to explore myself and you know, get a comfortable feeling with myself. I just always felt uncomfortable in my own skin. Now, fortunately, I left the culture. I went away to college, and it was after college when I got my first job in the city of Philadelphia that those same really intense feelings started to come up again. And it was when I would see other women who on a Friday or Saturday night, they would be going out to a club and they would have low-cut shirts or short skirts. And they were exhibiting their bodies, like showing them off. And right. I would get the same white-hot feeling of shame. But yet at the same time, now I'm an adult and I was very intrigued and thought, God, I wish I could have a little bit of that because they look so free and they're having a lot of fun.
Yes. Yes. Well, and isn't that interesting? I mean, I certainly have run into people that are dressed in a way where I'm not sure where I should look. I know where my eyes are being drawn to,
exactly.
But I'm not exactly sure where to look at the moment. So I'm feeling uncomfortable, never shameful. That isn't what came up for me. But for me, it's just a sense of I'm not sure what to do. And I've come a long way with that, but probably still based in the same thing. So let's take this then, your experience, and let's talk a little bit about, you know, when do you think women or girls really feel shame for the first time, or first feel shame, I guess I should say.
I think the first time it happens is when someone sexualizes them. And unfortunately, it's long before they've had any thoughts of themselves as sexual.
Right.
So it's just like I described, it defines you then. It either leads you in the direction of shutdown or in the direction of the opposite, exactly what my preacher did not want, which was in the realm of those women, which right. is what I realized as an adult later, just to finish my story real quickly. The reason I'm so passionate is because the woman who finally broke this cycle for me was actually a professional stripper right. with 23 years of experience. And I signed up for her class at an adult learning studio. It was called Exotic Dancing 101. And when I walked into that class, I was extremely judgmental of her. She had the long fingernails, the fake tan, the hair extensions, the stance and the prance, as I call it. You know how they walk around. And I thought, oh no, I do not like you. I am not like you. I don't want to be like you. but there were other women there. There was a mom with four kids. This is when I was in my 20s. I'm now a mother myself with three children, two of which are girls, 12 and 9. So this is passionate to me. But there was breast cancer survivor. There was all kinds of women. So I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to be the one to leave. So I stayed in the class. And she ultimately sat us in a circle. And she said, it's okay to move your body in any way you want to move your body. And I started crying. Because it broke down a wall for me. That is something I would have wanted my mother or the women in my family or my culture to have taught me.
Yes. Well, yeah. I can even feel it now. And I mean, I read it on your website, and I think that's part two, what just stuck me there reading the whole story. But I can feel it now when you say it. That permission that it's okay to move your body how you want to move your body. And isn't that an absolute extreme to that whole, you know, sit down, put your legs together, you know, hold everything tight. And yeah, it's just such a different message and such a right message.
I think so. And that's why I'm just going to keep saying it and shouting it. And
yeah, until people listen. Yes. Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad you went back and brought that in, because I had gotten caught up in my own excitement on the topic and forgot that you hadn't shared why you became passionate.
My fault. I took us off track.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So how can we help our girls avoid this early exposure to shame? What do we do?
I think we need to be truthful with them about how the world will see them. We need to actually have conversations about how they own and operate their own bodies. Like, even from a young age, it's okay to say to your child when she's, you know, jumping up and down, doing cartwheels in her skirt, you know, it's perfectly fine to say, honey, I'm glad you're having fun, but some people won't be okay with what you're doing.
Right.
You need to decide for yourself whether that's okay or not.
Yeah. Or I brought you some shorts if you like. It might be easier.
Exactly. Here's an option so that you don't have to deal with someone telling you not to do something that you love to do.
Or your skirt falling over your face while you're trying to cartwheel. I mean, that's dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's such an interesting idea to me, because just recently I was doing some videos, and one of them was on bullying. So I've been talking a lot about that whole piece of being honest with our kids, that you know what the reality is, there are people out there that will pick on you sometimes. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, so rather than sort of pretend these things shouldn't happen, that they're they're the exception rather than the norm.
Exactly.
To just be honest.
So then they don't know how to deal with it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, My 9-year-old already knows, because I read an article this week, because I didn't know about this until this week, but my 9-year-old already knows there are bad people that are out on certain apps on your phone who will say things to you like, hey, lift your shirt for me and I'll give you some of this currency, because they earn certain coins and things in various games.
Right.
Things like that. Like, you have to make your children aware this early. And I said to my daughter, I heard that there are some bad people doing this. If that ever happens, don't do it. And immediately take a picture of who that person is, because they know how to do this, and show it to mommy. Or if you're at a friend's house, show it to their parents, show it to a teacher. But so not only was I telling her that, and I went on to say, it's not your fault if they asked you to do something. And even if you went along with them with one action and now they said, oh, I got you to show me your belly button. Now I want you to lift your, like, don't ever feel like you can't say no just because you went a certain place. Make sure that if your intuition says, wait a minute, what I did before was not okay, but but now they want me to do more. You can immediately in that moment say no, mm-hmm. but get to another adult to tell them about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because in that moment, I mean, the only reason they might be afraid to now tell someone is because there is a little bit of sense of shame that came with the first showing.
Exactly. Right? Especially if they got tricked into, which is exactly what these perpetrators do. And they will sit for months and years and develop friendships and with these mm-hmm. children.
Absolutely.
And in order just to wait for that exact moment. So, Right. Yeah.
Well, and I think certainly a lot of the stories and such that have been coming up, and it just for so many people, these kinds of things can involve someone that you do know that might not even be on an app and be a stranger. I mean,
yes.
That's a sort of new challenge for parents that they have to be very aware of. But it's everything from the uncle that wants to touch you in a way that isn't... you know, that it isn't considered okay.
Exactly.
We need to be able to talk about those things.
Well, hopefully you've had that conversation back when they were 3, 4, or 5, and you were said, if you don't want to hug so-and-so, you don't have to. And if you're ever uncomfortable or they tell you not to tell mommy about something, that's exactly when you should tell mommy about something.
There's that piece. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but this is such a beautiful segue. There is that piece too for those moms that maybe have told their child that they do have to hug somebody they don't want to. Like, oh, give Auntie Joan a hug because you know, she's your auntie and you have to.
There's a fine line. I get it.
Well, there is, but also it's okay now to go back and say, you know what? I wish I had never done that because really it's up to you who you hug.
Oh my gosh, what a great mentor, what a great mother you're actually being if you go back and revisit a situation that was not done well.
Yes.
And redo it, even if just verbally.
Exactly.
Like, yes.
And you're now opening the door to your daughter or your son or whoever now being able to come to you and say, okay, you know, this is what's happening
right
now. Yeah.
Right. That's a perfect way to say, listen, tell me the truth. Mommy's able to get angry or upset for a moment or two because I'm human too.
But right.
Then after that, we will figure things out together.
Exactly. Yeah. Just let me vent a little.
Yeah. You'll be loved and accepted.
Mama Bear has to roar here.
Right. Because we're human too.
So let's dive a little bit deeper into kids and this type of responsibility. I mean, can they handle it?
I absolutely. I believe they can. The example I like to give is how many of us have one set of rules that a child can do at one grandparent's house and then a different set of rules that they can do at a different grandparent's house.
Yeah. Some of them it's at their mom's house and at their dad's house.
Exactly.
Right.
How quickly do they learn that? Kids are smart. If you give them realistic possibilities, like someone may ask you to smile for them. Someone may ask you to do something that makes you feel uncomfortable, like get them to learn to tap into those things. Kids are smart enough. They will start to trust their intuition and they will know. It won't even be intuition after a while. It will be the skills that you've given them. Without those guideposts, though, the girls can easily feel fear or shame or embarrassment, like we've talked about. And that feeling is what the perpetrators, or I believe that's what they can pick up on. Mm-hmm. If they feel fear, shame, or embarrassment, they're going to know that that particular girl is probably someone that they can coerce or manipulate over time.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's our responsibility to arm our girls to be above that, to be able to own and operate their own bodies and say no when a no is needed.
Yes. And to go out to a party, let's say as an 18-year-old, and to wear what they want to wear without feeling like people could later look at them and say, well, you wore that. What did you expect?
Yeah. Right? But also knowing that, you know, there comes a personal responsibility, though, also with being who you are. So what I mean by that is one of the things I teach my girls, and this is a sticky widget, is that Yes, it is okay to move your body in any way you want to move your body. Yes, it's okay to dress the way you want to dress. But you've also got to sit back and think, what messages am I sending when I'm moving a certain way or dressing a certain way, whether it's right or wrong? And all you have to do is consider that, because if you feel unsafe for any reason, if there are things that you can't control about the situation that you're in, err on the side of conservatism.
Yes.
Because safety comes first.
Oh, and I love that you're saying this part, because I think that is so important. When you see that guy leering at you or whatever, you know, that might be a good time to cover up a little bit, or to, you know, very clearly with your body language say, hey, you know, I'm allowed to move whatever way I want. I'm allowed to dress how I want, but what you're doing right now is wrong.
Exactly. I think it's very important to be both sassy and classy. Playful and powerful. And there's a dynamic there that is a form of personal power when you learn how to navigate the edges of it.
Yes. And I think a lot of shows, for example, will have women who are playing the role, let's just say, of a CIA operative or whatever, and their job is to entice a guy. And what that's showing in these shows is that women do have a lot of power over a lot of men. And I think there we can misuse our power in the same way that men can misuse their strength to hold us down. We could misuse our power to lead someone on and then, you know, throw out the innocence idea of, I was just dancing.
Right. Now, where our society gets it wrong is our society celebrates the men and says, go off, get stronger, like show off your muscles. It's perfectly okay. So men learn, for the most part, how to wield their physical strength. Most men don't harm women. Now, there are those that do, obviously, and that's why there is some fear about physical strength. Well, guess what? The same is true about sensuality. We need to be celebrated for the power that it really is. It's a form of physical power that we as women and young girls possess. And you need to be given the right to figure it out, to investigate the edges of your boundaries and learn how to own and operate it. Because yes, one aspect of it is the power of coercion. It's very powerful to be that seductive. But it's also, that's the same element that allows you to let loose and have a good time with your own monogamous partner too, though. That's the part that you need to develop so that you're not expecting him to bring out your sensuality, your sexuality. You have a role in this. I'm back to it again with the whole body ownership piece.
Right.
It all comes down to that for me.
Well, and I love your message. There's just so much to it, but it is that whole richness of really tuning into what feels good for me, what allows me to tap into my own creativity, to let go, to be authentic. And at the same time, what do I need to do to make sure that I'm being clear about my boundaries, that, you know, I'm looking after myself, protecting myself? Oh, what a fantastic message.
Well, I'm trying to simplify it because it's a really confused, complex mess right now. And it keeps us women in a state of confusion where we're easily manipulated, abused, and just made fools of. And it's time for us to get out of that, step into our personal power.
Well, and even, I mean, we've gone through different phases, but where you get offended because a man holds a door open for you.
Right. Please. I love that.
All the time. And I love it. If my husband comes around and even opens a car door, it's like, wow.
Right. It does not diminish me as a woman.
Oh, absolutely not. It makes me feel like he's doting on me. And who doesn't want to be doted on every once in a while?
I agree.
So what is your number one tip for being a vibrant, powerful mom?
Well, I would say that my number one tip to be a vibrant, powerful mom is to allow your children to see that you are, in fact, a woman also. Be the person that you want your children to grow up to be. So I encourage women always to strive towards being empowered, able to stand up for your rights while being respectful of others, and be able to address the important and sometimes scary topics without using fear or manipulation on your kids. Show them at least every day how to let loose and have a little bit of fun, because those days with your kids go by so quickly.
Well, they do. They go by so quickly, and it's so easy for us to forget that our kids are learning so much more by what we do than what we say. Mm. So we can say, I told her, like, believe in yourself, honey. There's nothing you can't do. And then I turned around and said, yeah, I can't. I wish I could go back to school, but I'm too old, right, or I'm too busy, or I'm too, you know, whatever it is, whatever restriction you put. And the kids learn so much more from that. So I love what you said that there, the whole idea of modeling, being that person.
Right.
Nice. So how do people find out more about what you do, Tammy?
Well, you've already mentioned my website. Thank you, TammyLeitzel.com. I also have a free wow factor challenge for the ladies who want to find their wow factor. But mostly I want to give to your listeners, I have a PDF, three things you must know about body ownership. And I would love to give that to your readers today.
Nice. Oh, I love that. That gives me goosebumps. I want it. I want it already. Okay. I will put the link up on the blog that I've written that goes with this interview, as well as on the Transformation Talk Radio page that is hooked up to this interview. So you can get the link to your gift from there. If you're going to search out Tammy so that you can read her story, then you should know that Leitzel is spelled L-E-I-T-Z-E-L. So that's TammyLeitzel.com. And Tammy is just normal, T-A-M-M-Y. So you can find all about her there.
Oh, Debbie, I'm anything but normal.
Well, you know, and isn't that, I mean, I love the fact that we can all be unique.
Yeah. Right?
Which makes us just like everyone else, but unique at the same time. Oh, Tammy, thank you so much for coming on today's show and sharing this really important message with us. I truly believe that it is time for all women to take back their power. And I think that what you shared today is like a starting point for so many, because it often feels safer or more important, more critical to come at healing from a place of protecting our daughters first and helping them live that full life. So I think that is just such a critical thing. Now, I would love to have you come back on the show and talk about how you reclaimed your power and that whole dance aspect and why it's so important. And so I won't put you on the spot here. We can talk about it when we're off air, but I just wanted to publicly announce that I would love for you to come back. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners. I so appreciate each and every one of you. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Tammy Leitzel, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.